All right. Those guys are the Sultans of String. The Sultans of String. Don't let Adorian find out about that. He is the Sultan. Keep your eye on Turkey. Keep your eye on Israel. They're dividing up Syria, and everybody wants to know how long they will go on cooperating with each other. I guess you have to ask the boss, who's in Washington, and probably the boss doesn't know. I heard something a while ago on Amy Goodman's show, and it was a really important story. I want to make sure I thought I'd take the opportunity to say something about it. That is that the city of Chicago is canceling their Cinco de Mayo celebrations, which is really big, by the way, not just in Chicago, but across U.S. It's been and it is a curious holiday, and it really should be celebrated. But I noticed that nobody talks about why, how it came about that the Cinco de Mayo was such an important matter that the United States would be promoting it. They should, but people don't know why exactly, because of the history of it. What happened, I can't tell you the exact year, but I know the date of Cinco de Mayo was the date on which the French forces who were entering Mexico to put in power the Emperor Maximilian, an Austrian. At the time of the American Civil War, they were coming from the coast, going their army, and they were marching to capture Mexico City to place Maximilian in power. And they were defeated. That was a very important moment for the United States, because what was actually afoot was that the British and the French had decided they were going to put Maximilian in power in Mexico, and then they could use Mexico to supply the Confederacy, that is the slave states, because the British and the French were supportive and sympathetic openly to Jefferson Davis and the slave owners who were fighting to destroy the American government, which kind of an important moment, because as you know, the end of that war was that 4 million enslaved people became citizens and of the United States, and America became a totally different country, a much better one, of course, because the franchise of freedom went from one side of the continent to the other. And the contribution of Mexico was that the Mexican people and their army, this would be the soldiers supporting Juarez, had slowed. They didn't actually ultimately win, but they slowed the process so as to permit the Union forces of President Lincoln, whose program is ended with the abolition of slavery. They were in a very tough battle, the outcome of which was not foreordained, and unless you're a historical determinist, and I almost am, but I'm not quite. And therefore, the move by France and Britain to get Mexico under their control so that they could then pass weapons and personnel back and forth across the border. Remember, most of the Confederates, many of the officers fled to Mexico after the Civil War to escape living under a free country. That's what Cinco de Mayo was. Cinco de Mayo was a victory, a temporary but a very important one, the kind of a delaying factor that it prevented the French and the British from consolidating themselves the way they intended, with the outcome of making all of the Southwest slave territory, and guaranteeing a victory for the Confederacy. So it was very important, and it's therefore it's been honored. It's the Cinco de Mayo. It's actually not in Mexico a big celebration. It's they note it, but after all, they had problems of their own, and that was overthrowing Maximilian, which they did. By the way, with the help at that time of the Union Army, which very much appreciated Mexico's destruction of Maximilian. Again, I'm telling you, saying this on air, because I think there's not enough appreciation of what was these things. You know, we're going to have a holiday. Well, what's it about? Of course, it's a celebration now of the contribution of the Mexican Americans, Latino Americans, to the American culture and history. And so it's more of a contemporary celebration, which is, we're in Trump time now, so it's no longer going to be a celebration. He's going to repress it. This is the guy who is really burning his bridges, by the way, because if there is a population you ought not to put your foot on in Los Estados Unidos, it is Mexican Americans who constitute a majority in the Southwest, or a huge minority, if you want to put it that way. One simple thing to say is they do all the work. If you want to know who is producing things and lifting and shoveling and pulling and driving and operating, it is largely Mexican Americans. And Los Angeles is the second largest Mexican city in North America after Mexico City. I can use a term that I haven't heard for many, many years, but I suspect we're going to be hearing it again. It's called La Raza. There was a movement, and people are quite aware of the civil rights movement of the 1960s. They've probably heard about it. Know that it was, you know, Martin Luther King and Malcolm X and all that. But there was also a movement by Latino Americans, but particularly Mexican Americans, where they were asserting their rights, because when the United States consolidated its power in the Southwest, the treatment of Mexican Americans was quite brutal. It was this thing of expelling people, denying them citizenship. It has been common practice in the American Southwest, particularly by the Republican Party. Historically, I'm not talking about right now, Donald Trump. Donald Trump is just kind of a pedestrian follower of the old dirty line that they've always had. It was the political leaders in the Mexican community, Mexican-American community in the Southwest, began to urge the people of the Mexican-Americans Southwest to assert themselves and to run for office and to vote. They were breaking a kind of a silent barrier, because there was a time when, first of all, Mexican-Americans did not vote very, very much. And that was because their citizenship was always being challenged. And they were, you know, if you're working in the way, and they're the hardest working members of the American proletariat. You have a job, you're trying to maintain a family, and you go to vote, and somebody there starts questioning you, you could be out of a job, and at the very least, and you might be out of a lot more. So it was intimidation. It's always been intimidation, has always been. There was a Supreme Court justice in the United States. His name was Rehnquist, and he's always been celebrated as, you know, once you put a robe on, if you put a robe on somebody, you can make them look like they're the king of something. So when his robes and his sober expression in his big chair, everybody said, oh, there is a Supreme Court justice here. Yeah. Well, Rehnquist broke in the Republican Party in Arizona as a guy who, he was a lawyer, and he, his, one of his jobs, one of the things he did, it's a matter of historical record, is that he would go to polling places where Mexican Americans were likely to be turning out in good numbers, and he would walk along the line of people waiting to vote, and he would say to them, "Do you know that it's a crime to vote if you're not properly identified as a citizen? If you can't prove citizenship, it's a crime." And of course, here's what happens when innocent people hear that. They say to themselves, "I don't need this problem." They don't. It's not that they say, "Oh, I have my rights." You know how much trouble it is? You're talking to a wealthy guy, a Republican with a lot of influence, and you're going to make a big thing of your rights, and you are an ordinary working person? No, they simply go home. They say, "I don't want somebody bothering my family. I don't want them to look, you know, checking me." But this is what, this was, this goes back. I want to just emphasize, because I think people think that Trump created it. No, he's just playing, he's just skating on the path that somebody built for him. And, of course, the senator from Arizona that you might remember is Barry Goldwater, who said, by the way, that extremism and defense of liberty is not a vice. And that is a slogan which has been living it. It's been there like a little poison, been with us a long, long time. But to go back, to say this again, the barrier has been broken, and there are many, many American congresspersons and mayors and whatnot, but you can tell by the way the wind is blowing, and you don't need a weatherman for this, that the white right intends to take away all the things that were allegedly written in stone. Once again, they want to menace this community, but this is a very powerful community. And I think Trump is about to find out. But I'll just say again, on the matter of treatment of citizens, people, and remember that the Mexican-American was there before the so-called Anglo-Americans were. The whole West Coast there was a line of missions. I urge you, if you can do it, to visit the missions. We were built in the 1600s, and there were no colonies of any significance on the East Coast, but the Spanish were already spreading there, and there was this new phenomenon of American Mexicans were there. And so when when power was consolidated by the Americans, the Anglo, they did some terrible things. There were strikes in New Mexico, minor strikes. When they were broken up, Mexican Americans, that is American citizens, whose ancestry went back to they could trace it to the 1600s, some of the strikers were put in trains and taken to the Mexican border and dumped out. These were Americans. That happened. We're seeing in an ugly form. We've never had a president who speaks so blatantly and ugly in such ugly language as Trump does about people. But the practice has been there, particularly in the American Southwest, coming from largely the Republican Party. I guess my point is to say this is where the broom doesn't touch, the dirt doesn't go away by itself. So that's been there all along, and now it's bearing the ugly fruit of the original practice, and really the original capture of the Southwest, which has never been properly addressed or resolved in terms of the rights of Latino Americans. This is the Taylor Report, CIUT 89.5 FM. I do hope that we all celebrate Cinco de Mayo, and for the right reason. Lincoln's government defeated the reactionary slave owners, and he was aided and abetted by Juarez of Mexico and the patriotic Mexicans who resisted the imposition of Maximilian, and it led to one of the greatest victories for humanity, because anytime you defeat slavery and slave owners, you have written a chapter that won't be erased. That was probably the most significant war. It's certainly the most significant war in North American history, and has made it gave America the chance to be a democracy for once. You could say it's a work in progress. At the moment, it's being dismantled by his Trumpness.